I'm very pleased to welcome to the show my next two guests, Sansara Taylor and Jordan Davis. Sansara is a writer for Revolution Newspaper and one of the founders of StopPatriarchy.org. Jordan is a member of the Revolution Club in New York City. And they're joining us to talk about what happened when they and the other members of StopPatriarchy.org attempted to attend and participate in a conference up at Hampshire College. The conference was called by the civil liberties and public policy people at Hampshire. And the conference was titled From Abortion Rights to Social Justice, Building the Movement for Reproductive Freedom. Well, StopPatriarchy.org went there. They set up a table. They participated in the conference. And by the second day, the organizers of the conference ended up using the police to evict them from the conference and order them away from it all. Sansara, Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hey. Hi, Michael. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, you guys too.
Glad to be talking with you.
Good, good. All right. So, Sansara, let's start with you. Why don't you tell our listeners what this conference was, what drew you, why you went to it, and then what happened in a broad sense?
Yeah. Well, the conference, as you said, it's called From Abortion Rights to Reproductive, to Social Justice, Building the Movement for Reproductive Freedom. And as you just announced, and as I think a lot of your listeners know, I work with the organization StopPatriarchy.org. And one of the major things that we're taking on the entire war on women. I'm coming at this from the perspective of wanting to build the movement for revolution to liberate women and emancipate humanity, but also uniting with a broad swath of other kinds of people to say we have to fight and defeat the war on women. In particular right now, the just juggernaut and escalation of laws and restrictions on women's right to abortion. So this conference that happens every year, it's been going on for 27 years now. It's a tradition at Hampshire College, and it draws about 1,000 students and other activists from around the country who are deeply concerned with abortion rights and social justice issues. So it seemed an obvious place to want to go to learn from other people, to connect with other people who share our alarm over the attacks on abortion rights and other social justice issues, and to bring in a program of mass political struggle. We were going to let people know about the April 25th National Day of Student Action around abortion on demand and without apology, and to connect with people for really what needs to be a massive summer of struggle to defend women's right to abortion. So that's why we went. That's what the conference was about. They have it's a three-day conference. The first night is a speak out, an abortion speak out, where women get up and they tell their stories of abortion. It's a very positive event because this is the kind of thing that usually women don't talk about. It's to lift the shame and the stigma. So there's a speak out, and then there's 2 days of plenaries and workshops on everything from how to start an abortion fund to opposing the shackling of women in prison when they give birth, to workshops on state violence, to workshops on resisting the right. There's a whole lot of different things that go on. So we went to participate.
Well, what led you guys to being kicked out? It's kind of I know my listeners are probably sitting there thinking, for the ones that have heard you on my show before, Sansara, for people that know about StopPatriarchy.org, for people who know about Revolution Newspaper, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, what the hell's going on? Why would the police be summoned to kick you out? So you want to speak to that, or Jordan speak to it?
I could speak to it, maybe. Well, we were there maybe sitting 15 feet, you know, away from the table that we had, you know, at the conference, you know, the table that we had there. And it wasn't like, you know, we had this table and it was against their policy. They actually had this table for us at the conference, you know, Stop Patriarchy. And we were at a table talking amongst another group of people, you know, having a pretty good, sharp conversation. And the next thing I know, I turn my head and I see police surrounding our table. So I pretty like much had no understanding of what was going on at the time. And, you know, come to find out later, the police were escorting us along with the CLIP organizers, you know, because we had an anti-porn line, you know, talking about ending porn. And there were some people that actually disagreed with that. And, you know, CLIP, the organizer said we were making people feel unsafe by actually expressing our views. And that was my understanding of why we got kicked out of there. It was just pretty paltry. But
You know,
maybe just to add to that just a little bit, because it's a very controversial thing. It shouldn't be, but it's a controversial thing, especially on campus, especially with the women and gender studies departments being dominated as they are today with a lot of excuses and rationalizations for pornography. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And so it was, we're against pornography. We're against the, sex industry, and we see this as a mirror opposite. Reducing women to sex objects to be used and consumed by men is a mirror opposite of reducing women to breeders and forcing them to have babies they don't want. Both of them dehumanize and oppress and degrade women. And so this is a position. It is part of what we were bringing into the conference, and it was controversial. So there was a group of participants who came to argue with us about this. And we, like Jordan said, we had our Stop Patriarchy had a table registered officially as part of the organizational tables at this conference. And when this group came to argue with us, we welcomed that. We got into the debate over why we find pornography and the sex industry harmful. And, these people, they were very, very, very argumentative, which is fine, and it was passionate, but it was very principled and very substantive, and then they got frustrated and they walked away, and we thought that was the end of it. Turns out these participants in the conference went and complained to the organizers of the Civil Liberties and Public Policy Conference and said they claimed that the fact that we had condemned pornography made the conference no longer a safe space for them because they like porn. And, that's outrageous. They could have left. They didn't have to argue with us. They came to argue with us. Safe space doesn't mean that you will never have anybody disagree with you. So that was outrageous. But the more outrageous thing is that the organizers, they didn't come over to find out what happened. They didn't ask us a single question. They didn't investigate with other people who had been there. They didn't try to participate and facilitate participation of groups with opposing viewpoints. They came immediately with police and told us that we had to leave or we would be arrested. And then they did. They surrounded the table and they stayed with us until we packed everything up and marched out of the campus, and the police stood with us until our van came, and we loaded up our van, and they took pictures of our license plates. And they treated us like we were criminals and they threatened to put us in jail for advocating peacefully a anti-pornography position at our own officially registered anti-porn, anti-patriarchy table.
Let me remind listeners that you're tuned into The Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Sansara Taylor, a writer for Revolution Newspaper and a member of the StopPatriarchy.org group. And we're also talking with Jordan Davis, who's a member of the New York City Revolution Club. Now, it's kind of hard, I think. Actually, one of the things, let me read you something that I got just before I left to come over to the studio. I had been asking the president of Hampshire College to come onto the show and talk about their position on why you guys were, basically evicted from the conference. And I never got through to him. I got a message from his assistant or someone who said that he was preoccupied tonight. Preoccupied. I guess he was just, his attention was somewhere else. And then they said, after I wrote to them and explained what I wanted to do, and said, look, I want to give you a chance to tell your side of the story. And they said, okay. And they wouldn't put anybody on the show. But they did issue a statement, and this is from Elaine Thomas, Director of Communications at Hampshire College. And she wrote, members of the Stop Patriarchy group were asked to leave the Civil Liberties and Public Policy Conference not because of their views, but because of their repeatedly disruptive behavior. This is an annual conference with more than 1,000 in attendance. In addition to planning the program, its staff and student organizers ask that all participants follow community norms for discussion so that everyone can participate in productive dialogues and workshops. When conference organizers raised concerns with Stop Patriarchy members about their repeatedly disruptive behavior, their response was to dismiss the negative effects of their actions on others attending the conference and to continue the behavior. They were asked to leave, and when they refused to leave peacefully, campus safety officers were asked to escort them off campus. And again, that's from Elaine Thomas, Director of Communications at Hampshire College. Well, guys, what do you got to say about that?
That is a bald-faced – that's not just one bald-faced lie. That's a whole pack of total distortions and lies about what happened. Stop Patriarchy was actually having a really positive – interaction with conference goers and attendees. We were getting, a lot of people were coming to our table. Many people had signed up with us. Many people were wearing our stickers and donating for them. And we did participate in a lot of the workshops, but we were not disruptive in any sense that could be, that you could stretch that word to mean. We did challenge some of the speakers, including some of the speakers who were organizers and leaders within CLIP, in the question and answer and commentary format of these workshops. There was a number of workshops where organizers from CLIP and also other speakers would put forward the view that Obama is a friend of the pro-choice movement, he's a friend of the people, that we should rely on the Democrats. There were arguments over things like that. We said that this is not true. Obama's not a friend. He's presided over tremendous, the greatest attacks on abortion rights that have happened since Roe v. Wade, and he's demobilized the opposition, our side, and he's conciliated with this. And we challenged that substantively. We raised our hand, we were called on, and we challenged that. And, you know, there was, I think, quite a bit of fruitful and important political debate and discussion that we were taking part in, which is actually really, I mean, what is the point of a conference on reproductive justice if you don't have people honestly questioning, how did we get in this situation where we are losing ground all the time? Yesterday's outrage is today's compromised position and tomorrow's limit of what can be imagined. We just saw a law passed in North Dakota that goes into effect on August 1st that makes it illegal to get an abortion after 6 weeks. That's before women know they're pregnant. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We wanted to have a serious conversation about how we got here and the strategies that have been losing and how we get on a winning dynamic. So there were differences that we had with some of the organizers. And I think that that is really important. I think that there were people at CLIP. All I can imagine is that they really did not, they were very threatened by that and wanted to suppress that, because there was nothing that could be deemed disruptive in our conduct. And CLIP is the Civil Liberties and Public Policy Program at Hampshire College. They're the sponsors of this conference. And maybe Jordan wants to comment on this too, but I also have to add, never once did any of the organizers come to us, express concern, express a criticism of our conduct, ask us to change what we were doing. And the arguments that they cited, the one argument that they cited when they kicked us out, was an argument, as I explained before, that a group of participants came to our table to argue with us. We didn't chase them down. We didn't go into their space. The conference pamphlet, the conference guidelines, says very clearly that you have to give people space to disengage from a conversation. And we gave everybody that space. So if there had been complaints, it was on the, which we don't know about. We had a very positive experience with the participants. If there were complaints, then why didn't the CLIP organizers come and tell them to us? And why was it that the first we had any idea, the very first we had any idea, the police were there with the organizers, with Mia Sullivan, the head, the director of CLIP, and with campus police? It's just not true that they asked us to leave and we refused. It's also not true that we refused to leave peacefully. We left peacefully when the police were already there, because the police were there as soon as we were asked.
It's just so enraging when you think about this. You know, let me remind listeners that you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Sansara Taylor, a writer for Revolution Newspaper and a member of the StopPatriarchy.org group. And we're also talking with Jordan Davis, who's a member of the New York City Revolution Club. Jordan, your comments on this, the statement you heard, and what actually led to this. I mean, I'd like to know too how you know, it seems like this was very focused up around pornography, and yet the conference was a whole big conference on abortion rights and social justice. How did this end up getting focused up around pornography?
Right. I mean, first, maybe I'll get into the statement. Just hearing that statement, I think it's really irresponsible that a college or university that's supposed to have a record for being progressive would even flat out lie like that in their statement and not even have the courage to step up and, you know, if they get on the phone, they're going to write a statement and flat out lie about what the, you know, what the circumstances actually were around us being escorted out by the police. You know, I mean, we were there. It seemed like we were being very well received by people. Not one time can I cite an instance where we were being disruptive, challenging, yes, but disruptive, no, not in the least were we being disruptive to anybody at that conference. And it's just a shock to me that they would even make that statement, you know. And one, the first time I even actually saw us being talked to, you know, the first time we were ever even talked to, we were being escorted out by police. That's the first time they ever even confronted us, made it known that they had a problem with what we were doing, what we were presenting there. That was the first time we had ever even heard about it. So to say that we had made repeated violations and they had stepped to us before about it or people had complained about it is a flat-out lie. That's just absolutely not true, and people actually it was very well received on campus what we were bringing, because first of all, it was something far different than anybody else was bringing there. You know, nobody there was bringing that position of actually, you know, porn is female enslavement. Mm-hmm. Nobody was there saying that. You know, nobody was saying any of that. So I think that was, like, something that fueled us being kicked out in the first place. You know, there were a lot of people there. Now it seems, you know, several people that had, you know, claimed to be sex workers or whatever and said that we were, I don't know the terminology too well, but infringing on their agency maybe, or, like, saying that to call out porn is actually wrong because you're denigrating the people that are involved in that industry, or you're exploiting the people that are involved in that industry by calling out porn and that it's human enslavement. So the people that actually were involved in the discussion and argument with our table, you know, were coming from the position that, you know, we shouldn't be telling them that all of this porn and patriarchy and all of this is about, you know, the whole world and the way capitalism works and, you know, and patriarchy and everything like that. It's my experience and that's the way I live and I'm a sex worker, and don't tell me that it's something from a much larger social context. So that seemed like something that really set them off, and they went to the, you know, the civil liberties, public policy, and complained to them, and that's when I noticed we were getting confronted for the first time and being kicked out. And then they raised how there were all these complaints about us the whole weekend that we had been disrupting and making people feel unsafe and creating, actually they said, an atmosphere of violence. these are the words that they used, that we were creating an atmosphere of violence, which is actually preposterous. It's just, like, ridiculous. As if the police
are not actual violence, the state-backed police. I just have to jump in because it's so infuriating. I want to say two things. Is that a lot of the argument that got joined at our table by these people who, like Jordan said, some of them claimed to be sex workers, and others were talking about their personal desire and preferences for pornography. Repeatedly, the people at our table kept reposing the question in terms of, we are not talking about your personal experience and your personal desires. Everybody's sexuality and sexual desires are shaped by larger social forces. And in this world, where degradation, violence against women is sexualized, where millions and millions of women are tricked, pimped, sold by starving families, beaten and raped into submission and into the sex industry on a mass scale, in the millions and millions every year. In this world, it's not surprising that a lot of people feel innately turned on by and the desire for degradation and sexuality. That doesn't surprise us, but we're making a critique that is a world. You don't get the right to enjoy that kind of pornography, to take part in marketing your own body as a commodity, as a you know, doing quote unquote sex work. You don't get the right to do that without a world that gives rise to the idea of women's bodies as commodities. And that world is a world in which women are enslaved and degraded in the sex industry. And we want to change that world. We're not here to tell you what you can and cannot do in a consensual way in your bedroom. We're here to challenge people to look at what is being done to half of humanity, and that we have to fight this. And repeatedly, we were accused of criminalizing and shaming sex workers. And we kept pointing back to our call to action saying we are against criminalizing sex work. We are against banning pornography, but we are for challenging people to reject this and fight against it. And this is something we don't think that people should only come, as Jordan was saying, from their own direct experience. We should come from humanity first. And then the idea that I forgot this accusation until Jordan said it, that we created an atmosphere of violence. It's the police were called on us. The police were called on, this was a conference that claims to have, it had workshops on state violence and racism, and yet they called the police, and they went to great lengths at this conference, which is a positive thing, to accommodate transgendered and non-gender-conforming people, to make it a safe space for people. And yet they called the police on a group of eight activists who include revolutionaries and freedom fighters, who include a young black man like Jordan, who has been stopped and frisked repeatedly, more times than he can remember growing up, and actually risked a year in jail to be part of the mass civil disobedience last year against stop and frisk. They called the police on a young transgender person who was with us. That's not a safe space for a transgender person in a police precinct and facing jail time. They called police on revolutionaries and activists and freedom fighters and oppressed people. And that's actual violence. And this is a highly repressive state. And when you do that, you cross every the most basic and fundamental line in any social movement, is that you resolve differences of politics through political argument. You resolve differences in that way. We were not disruptive. We were engaging in substantive argument, and they called in the force of the state. And it's an outrage.
You know, I have to add this on, but first I got to remind listeners that you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution Newspaper and one of the founders of StopPatriarchy.org, and Jordan Davis, a member of the Revolution Club in New York City. Now, Sansara, I have to, we're running up on our time, but I wanted to make sure that this is something that's really been bugging me since I first read about this, and as we're talking today, here's a point, and I've had my own experiences around this. It can get very sharp. There's a certain constriction and constraining of the framework that people talk about things today. You were saying this earlier when people were saying, our friend Obama and other things. But just anything that seems to challenge anything that's outside, anything that seems to challenge anything except, any kind of question, big question, big social question, and it does so, challenges it and looks at things from outside the norm, seems to provoke a really virulent response from a lot of people who, quite frankly, their vision, even as they have a conference like this, that seems to be very, very important. It's covering questions that are absolutely essential for people to be having the most vigorous debate about and discussion of in society, and actually people coming forward to fight around this. And yet they have this, they've constrained it so much that basically you can't bring discussion in. You can't step out of the bounds without getting slammed. And that, to me, is a very terrible thing.
Well, I think it's true what you're saying. I mean, one, I don't want to overstate. I mean, there's very positive things that were part of this conference, but I don't want to overstate its positiveness. Obviously, its limitations were sharply revealed. And I feel that there's a big question here. Is what we're going for, there's two ways I want to go at this. Is what we're going for a sort of a safe space, a little marginal space in society where we can kind of create a little bubble where we have different terms and we relate to each other in a different way and we feel really good about that, but yet the world continues to hurtle towards tremendous horror for humanity? Is that what we're looking for? And in that little conference space, in this little movement niche, nobody challenges anybody else. Everybody is protected from ideas that might challenge their assumptions or make them have to rethink what they're doing with their lives and why. We'll just have a little safe corner where the world continues to burn. Or are we actually trying to change the world? In which case, we want to look as thoroughly and as vigorously and as honestly and as rigorously as we can at where these problems come from and what is really going to be required to solve them. And in that context, bring on the debate. That's why we didn't fear and we weren't upset. People came and challenged. They came to argue with us. We didn't go crying to the organizers. We said, bring it on. Let's get into a discussion. This really matters. We took people at their word that they were committed to fight against oppression and injustice, in particular around women, but also more broadly. And that is what matters. And we're accountable to that. Others are accountable to that. That's an extremely important thing. The other thing, and this is also why I feel we shouldn't overstate the strength of this conference, is I feel that it was more starkly revealed, both through the programs that were put forward at it and through their use of police against us, is that there is a real fear in the established pro-choice movement. I know they don't call themselves that anymore, but reproductive justice, abortion rights movement, and broader social movements, there's a fear of really calling forward and daring to take on. There was a big desire at this conference to sidestep the need to really confront the Christian fascist juggernaut against women's rights, and to think we could reframe the battle over abortion as health care. We could just ignore the fact that there's people who want to force women to have babies against their will and say, oh, let's just talk about health care for women. Let's just talk about, try to sidestep the fact that we have to wage a fight. And repeatedly, we were arguing that, no, we have to take this head on. We have to say abortion on demand without apology. We have to stop relying on the Democrats, and we have to bring forward thousands and tens of thousands of people in mass political struggle. And I feel this is something that was deeply resonating with people, not everybody at the conference, I don't want to overstate it, but with a lot of people at the conference and a lot of people more broadly. And this is something that StopPatriarchy.org is committed to doing this summer, and listeners should get involved. But this is something that those who have a stake in the established movements, those who have a lot of stake in and are tied in one way or another to the Democratic Party, they are very fearful of this program. And I think this is actually, it's one of the bigger questions that's posed off of this. We have to have people respond to Hampshire College for this outrageous act of police suppression. But even more, and as we do that, we need people to step forward and fight right now to turn the tide on what is an extremely dangerous situation facing women as a whole, and concentrated right now in this fight around abortion.
All right, Sansara, we're going to have to wrap this up, but can you give people real quick the way to contact, how to actually express their opposition to what happened at Hampshire College, and how to contact StopPatriarchy.org?
Okay, I would love to do that. Please check us out at StopPatriarchy.org. It's StopPatriarchy.org. I guess that's self-explanatory, and it's also StopPatriarchy at gmail.com. You can write to us.
Say that again, because I interrupted.
Okay, StopPatriarchy at gmail.com. You can write to us, or go to the website, StopPatriarchy.org. To respond to Hampshire, there are two things that would make a big difference for listeners to do. One is to go to our website and write a letter, which we will send to the president of Hampshire College, Jonathan Nash, and to the Civil Liberties and Public Policy Program, including Mia Sullivan, the head, who called the police on us. You can write a statement at StopPatriarchy.org/opposesuppression. All one word, StopPatriarchy.org/opposesuppression. And we also encourage people to call Jonathan Lash, the president of Hampshire College, and register their upset and their protest over the use of Hampshire police against StopPatriarchy.org. His number is 413, or his office number is 413-559-5521. His name is President Jonathan Lash, 413-559-5521.
All right, Sansara, thank you very much for joining us today. And Jordan, you too. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Have a good one.
Take care now.